Flyers for Mission Week? Pretty nice, huh? And what is it a picture of? Okay. Somebody's hand. And notice the fingernails. Yeah. So, yes, God uses men and women in the mission field. And the field is the world, right? Okay. And if you want to go hear William Federer, I'm going to go there at 3 o'clock, so if you want to carpool, we can. It's not far from here. He was a pastor, and he has written many books. Mostly he does the movement of Christ in the church through history, and especially involved in American history. And he's on the internet, and he has DVDs. I have some books. I could have brought them from the office to show you who he is. Yeah, it's William, not Roger. He's not a tennis player. He is a Christian speaker. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that we get to be in your family. We get to be disciples who follow Christ and learn of Christ and become like Christ, imitating him and not just having an example, but actually having Christ live right inside us by your Spirit. So, Lord, help us to grow in that and help us to be used of you, to be your messengers, as Debbie said, to the world, sharing your love, your message, and inviting other people to join us in your family, to join us in Christ, in the body of Christ. Be with us today and all this week. Work in us. And we pray for the other churches, Lord. We know there are false churches that don't have the gospel, but there are many true churches that preach the gospel, and they're worshiping you right now. Some, because they're in different time zones and in different places, have been worshiping for a long time, all day, and other days as well. But be with us. We know you are. Make us aware of your presence and fill us with your Spirit to do your work. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let's see. Oh. Does one have to know and believe everything fully before committing to follow Jesus? We're going to look in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Here are some of the questions. Can one be a disciple of Jesus and still have some doubts? Does one have to follow Jesus as Lord in order to be saved? Do we have to believe in the Trinity in order to be a follower of Jesus? Is baptism optional? That's a good question. What about promises and what resources do we have a need for this task? And what does God want me to do? Let's read the scriptures together. Matthew 28, 16 and 17. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. So let's look at some of those questions. Does someone have to know and believe everything fully before coming to follow Christ? How many in this room know everything? No one, including your pastor. We're all growing in our knowledge of Christ and what it means to follow Christ. If we wait to know everything before we follow and obey, we'll wait forever and we'll never follow or obey. This is an effective trick of the devil. to get people to postpone their commitment to follow Jesus. You don't have to know everything, but you do need to know enough about who Jesus is and what he's done. And notice that what it says, the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. Jesus told them, go there and I'll meet with you. And that's an important thing. They followed instructions. When you follow instructions, even in when you don't know why, you're in a place of learning, because learning requires some submission. And so they were following Jesus, and they would learn more as they did that. So it's the process and the product of discipleship. It's training to become like the teacher in knowledge, experience, skills, relationship, and character. That's what a disciple is. We would call it today apprenticeship. You apprentice under someone to become just like him, to learn his skills or her skills, to be able to do the job. But not just a job. In this case, these are religious teachers, and there are many people who had disciples. The Pharisees had disciples. John had disciples. And in the book of John, two of his disciples in the first chapter leave following John and follow Jesus. Who are those two? Andrew and John. Andrew goes and finds his brother, Simon Peter. Okay. They become followers. They become followers of Christ. But they want to become just like their master. And that's what Luke tells us in 6:40. A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. A servant is not above his master, but a servant, when fully trained, will become just like the master. And so that's our relationship with Jesus. We are growing to be like him. We can't do it on our own, but we can do it with the Holy Spirit inside of us. So much of what we learn is done by watching and then trying to do the same thing. Much is nonverbal and can only be learned by modeling and imitating. Much is learned only by doing it. Trusting and obedience begin the training. Once you know enough to trust Jesus, then follow him, and you'll learn more. So trust and obey, like the song says, it's the only way to be happy in Jesus. It's the only way to be his apprentice and his disciple. Following instructions without knowing all the how and the why put us in the place to know where we can learn more. Someone said, more is caught than taught. We learn more by mentoring and experience than by hearing and reading information. Life has to be lived in order to be learned. Following Jesus is a new life. It's not just information about a new life. He is the life. The next question, can one be a disciple of Jesus and still have doubts? Well, what did we read? After being with Jesus for 3.5 years, after seeing him raised from the dead, some of them were there on the mountain worshiping Jesus, and they still had doubts. They saw him, they worshiped him. And even while they're worshiping, some of them had doubts. Do doubts ever occur to you while you're worshiping? While you're even reading the Bible? Yes. Doubts are part of being human, because you don't know everything. Right? Anyone here have infinite knowledge? No, we don't. But God is not taken by surprise for that. He's prepared for that. And he will train us and teach us, and we'll learn more and more as we go along. So don't worry about that. Look, these were apostles, and they doubted. So it's okay. They worshiped without full knowledge and faith. Some doubted even after the resurrection and the subsequent appearances. It's part of being human. It's part of the growth process. Next question. Does one have to follow Jesus as Lord in order to be saved? Look at this. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now, if you have all authority in heaven and earth, what are you? Are you not a very important and powerful person? Yeah, the most powerful and the most important person in heaven and earth. You are, in fact, the Lord, right? And so, but this, Jesus is unique, Because before he became human, before he was born as a baby, what was he? Yeah. And so before he was the creator, he became the God-man in order to live a human life and be the sacrifice on the cross, to be the redeemer, to be the savior, to be the human King of kings and Lord of lords. Is there any other savior besides the Lord? Is there any ever a time when he wasn't the Lord? Listen to this. He was always the Lord, but he was not always the Savior. He had to put on human flesh. And look how Paul says this. And Paul is quoting an early Christian hymn. Paul didn't write this. Paul is quoting this part. He said, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. This is out of Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. So here he is, the Lord, humbling himself to becoming a human, God becoming a human, and then that human becoming not a king, but a servant. Humbling himself to become a servant, and he humbled himself to become obedient even to death, even a criminal's death on the cross. Then God exalted him to the highest place. So Jesus took the lowest place, and now he's taken the highest place as the God-man, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Who's that? That's the Lord. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, that's who he is. Now, do we follow perfectly? No. Do we obey perfectly? No. But that's the goal of discipleship. We're in the process of discipleship. We haven't reached the goal. We're in process. And we won't fully achieve it in this life. But learning to obey, learning to imitate the master, that's what an apprentice does. That's what we're to do. We're not saved by how well we obey, but our obedience does reflect our trust and our love in our master, in our Lord. And it reflects our maturity and our progress in that training to be like him. That's what it means to be a disciple. And we are his disciples who are to make disciples. We are apprentices who learn from working side by side with him. Remember the picture Jesus said. Are you tired and weary from trying to make yourselves better? Come to me and I'll give you rest. Put on my yoke. Work side by side with me in my work, and learn from me, because I am humble of heart and gentle. And my yoke is easy. That means it'll fit you. It'll fit your form. And my burden is light. And you will enjoy working with me, and you'll learn pulling the yoke side by side with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are his disciples. We watch and learn. We see him and we imitate him. And then we grow in our knowledge with him. Now, the next question, is baptism optional? Well, is obedience optional? Do we have the Ten Commandments or the Ten Suggestions? We obey the Lord. Are we obeying perfectly? No. But we have to learn to do that. It's volitional, but it's not optional. That is, you make the choice. We choose to do it. Okay? But no, we're not saved by our works, but our works show that we're trusting and following him. What did Jesus say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He said, you're my friends if you do what I tell you. And that's the king calling people into his council and saying, servants don't know what their master's doing, but I've called you into my council and I'm telling you my business and I'm sharing it with you. And you're my friends, but I'm still the king. You understand that? Being called, that would be like called into the president's cabinet or called into the king's, I don't know what they have, cabinet or whatever. But they're the working and advisory council. That's what Jesus has made us. So we're to trust in God's grace and we're to obey God's will. We're to listen and obey God, showing that we trust him. Now, is baptism optional? No, it's not an option. It's where it's obedience. Obedience is learning to follow the master, and this is the first step. He said, be baptized. Why? Because it means to immerse people in the name of the divine community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is what it means to become into Christ. And so when we baptize someone, we're not putting them into Christ. We're declaring that their faith has put them into Christ. And they have become a new person. And this triune God is inviting us, and he'll be with us now and forever. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. He said, I'll be with you until the end of the age. Well, the thief on the cross was not baptized. That's right. And he went to heaven. But he had a pretty good excuse. So if you don't have that good of excuse and you haven't been baptized, you should be baptized to show that you're trusting and following Christ. Now let's ask the question. If you haven't been, why not? What's holding you back? Is it doubt? You don't have to know everything, but do you know enough to trust Jesus, that he died for your sins, that your sins are forgiven, that he was raised from the dead? Paul tells us in Romans that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, he died for our sins, and that God raised him from, you believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so you don't have to know everything, but do you believe that much? Then you should be baptized. Don't let what you don't know and what you're not sure about keep you from doing what you do know and what you are sure about. Don't doubt in the dark what you have seen in the light. All of us live that way. And so, I mean, we all have times when things are very clear and then when things are not so clear. Go with when it's clear. If you know enough about Jesus, then do it. Well, what's holding you back? Maybe it's rebellion. Maybe there's some sin that you don't want to let go of. You're hiding it behind your back. Okay, I have something behind my back. Some of you saw me put it there. But what's behind my back? Yeah, the remote control. There it is. Okay. You couldn't see it because I'm hiding it from you, right? Could God see it? Yeah. Can you hide anything from God? No. And so confession is just saying the same thing. Homologeo means to say the same word. We're just agreeing with God. We're not informing God. Like, God, I did this. You did? I didn't know. I couldn't believe this about you. God knows. And so what's confession do? Confession just makes us honest with ourselves and honest with God. And we stop pretending that he doesn't know. He knows. Now think about this. We hide from one another and we put on masks because we're afraid if that person really knew what I was like, they might not like me. They might not trust me in my work. They might be, they might reject me. And so all of us have learned to put on different masks in different situations. God wants us to take off the mask. Because think about it. Who knows everything about you? And who loves you knowing everything about you? God. God knows everything about us. We can't hide anything from God, and he loves us anyways. Is he going to find out something like, oh, I didn't know. You're really bad. God knows us, and he loves us anyway. So when we confess our sin, we're not telling God anything. We're not changing his mind. His mind is that he loves us, but he wants us to walk in the light. And as we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. And so confessing our sin It's just being honest with God and living in the truth of the cross that Jesus took away. How many of our sins? 85%? Some of you 50? 100%, right, of our sins. Jesus took them away, and he's forgiven us. And so living in the light, trusting in the grace of God is what we're supposed to do. Now, when think about when we sin. I know what God said, but in this case, I really need to do this. So this is a better plan for this time. This is just an exception. Next time I won't do this, but this time I have to do it. Is God's will for you better than your will for you? Is God's plan for you better than, or is your plan better? God's plan is better. God's will is better. We've spent a few weeks talking about that. We need to trust that God is good and that his will for us is good. And we live in the world, and the world is in rebellion to God, and there's a lot of sin going on in the world. We've done our own share of it. And so you're going to get hurt, and you're going to get wounded in the world. God's going to allow some of that to happen, but he's going to bring his grace to bear in that situation, in those wounds. And so we need to trust that God's will is actually better for us than our will. And so we say, Lord, I give it to you. I'm going to do what you said. The way Paul said in Romans 12, give your bodies as a living sacrifice, trusting in God to live each day, giving it to him, and then you will, this is your reasonable act of service, and then you will show as you live that his will is good, acceptable, and perfect. And as we do that, we'll be transformed and we'll be renewed in our mind as we switch out thinking like the world for thinking the way Christ thinks. So don't let sin keep you from following Christ. Being baptized is a picture of dying to the old life. And the old life is, I'm in control. I am self-sufficient. I can live on my own. I can plan my own way. I can do it in myself. And we die to that. That's the flesh. Self-sufficiency is the flesh. Living independent of God is the flesh. We die to that and we say, no, I'm alive in Christ. Christ is the master. I live in him. He lives in me. And now you come up, it's a picture of coming up into new life. Sin deceives people. It's like the drunk who's afraid to do something until he's drunk. And he's like, now that I'm drunk, I'm going to show you what a really good singer I am. I'm glad it's karaoke night here, and I'm going to sing this wonderful song for you. Well, maybe he loses his fears, but he doesn't gain ability by being drunk. He just thinks he's better. And some people, they think, I can really dance when I'm drunk. Or, well, sometimes people think, because that was the original trick of the devil. Here's God's will, here's God's way, but it's not good for you. This way is better, and it'll make you smarter. It'll make you wise. And so sin, there's something intoxicating and deceptive about sin. It fools you. The Bible says that wine and alcohol are a mocker. They make people think that they're better, but they're not. Well, sin does that. It's a picture of sin deceiving people. No, sin is not the better way. Obeying God is the better way. And trusting that God knows us and he cares for us. And so obedience is putting our trust in God. And baptism is the first step to say, I'm following God's wisdom, not my wisdom. I'm following God's way, not my way. He said, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Trusting God means trusting that his will is for you is good, that God's will is the best. It's better for his plan for you is better than your own plans for you. Let's read this together, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. plans to give you hope and a future. So what shall we rely on? Our thoughts or God's thoughts? Our wisdom, our knowledge, our understanding, or God's? Let's read this one, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. It's interesting because some of our people who know about Islam, Islam claims to be what? The straight path. Jesus is the straight path. And that's what John came to do. John said, I am a voice calling in the wilderness, John the Baptist, a voice calling in the wilderness, telling people to make their paths straight. Make the crooked straight. Make the up and down. Bring the high places down and the low places in. It's like what they did at our street. They dug it up, put in a new sewer, covered it back up. Now it's nice and straight. It's not crooked, it's not up and down, it's straight. And that's what God is doing in our life. By becoming disciples of Christ, he's going to make our life straight because he's in us. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So, yes, we're to be baptized in the name. And what is it? The Trinity. So, do we have to believe in the Trinity in order to be a follower of Jesus? Yes, because you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you have to understand the Trinity and explain it well? Anybody here do that well? I don't do that very well. No, we can't. How can you understand an infinite God totally? You can't. Can you even understand yourselves? Do you actually have a full grasp of your own psychology and your own makeup? No, there's things even hidden from ourselves that we don't even understand. And part of us is still corrupted. God is remaking it. We're not going to totally understand God. Now, think of children. Did children know everything about their parents? No. But can they know enough to trust their parents? That their parents love them and are looking out for them? And of course, there are some bad parents, but usually parents love their children and protect their children, right? And so children can know that without knowing everything about parents and even knowing everything about themselves, they can trust their parents. And we can trust God, and he describes himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's what we were to believe that. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. This is what God wants us to do. What are the promises and what are the resources that we need to do this task? The next verse. This is the promise throughout all of the Bible. Moses said, I can't talk. Who made your mouth? I'll be with you. They won't listen to me. I'll be with you. I'll go with you. I'll be with you. To Joshua, Moses is dead. You're the new Moses. That's a big job. Yeah, but I'll be with you. Just as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And this, he said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So Christ is with us in the form of the Holy Spirit. What does God want me to do? I don't know. Ask him. What does he want? Ask yourself, what do you want? Ask others how they see you. And this is how we learn what God wants. Not just by ourselves. We're in a community. And so we ask what God, ask him, and he speaks to us. He can speak to us through the Bible. He can speak to us through the Spirit. He can speak to us through other people in the body of Christ. And what does he want for us? He wants us to be disciples who obey all of his commands, right? Teach them to obey all I commanded you. So we need to be obedient disciples. What's one of his commands? Make disciples. Go into all the nations and make disciples. And so And what's our part in that? God will show us. But you start where you are. You don't say, okay, I'm going to be a disciple and I'm going to go to the ends of the earth and make disciples. No, start making disciples here. Become a disciple who's committed to following Christ and growing in the training process as an apprentice, learning and doing, getting better at it, falling, making mistakes, starting again, all of that. And when we get off course, when we fail, remember we talked about this before, sins and trespasses. What's the difference? Well, there's do's and don'ts, right? Do this, don't do that. So sin is missing the mark. You're trying to do something and you just don't do it right. You just mess up, you miss. You just fail to make the mark. So sin is meaning you just fail at it, okay? Trespassing, there's a line here that says don't cross and you go. That's a trespass. If you're told to do something and you don't do it on purpose, or you're told not to do something and you do it on purpose, or don't, which one? Hey, you do a don't or you don't a do on purpose. That's a trespass. But then there's iniquity, and iniquity is different. Iniquity is just a deformity. You fail to do something, you fail to be with what you are because there's something weak or wrong or injured about you. And God wants to help us with all of those things. And part of the training process is learning to trust God as he trains that out of us. So we begin where we are, and we're in this body together, and so we help one another discern God's voice for yourself and for this community. And most of the promises of growing up in Christ are promises to the group. They're not to the individual. It's to the group. Like in Ephesians 4, he's given pastors and teachers and apostles and evangelists and prophets so that the group would grow up and become like to the image of Christ. And then he says, he uses the image of a body. And he said, we are members of his body. And not everyone's an ear, not everyone's an eye, not everyone's a hand, not everyone's a foot. Some are the parts that are hidden. They don't receive much honor from us. We don't think about them at all until what? Like a gallbladder. Who knows what a gallbladder is? A few years ago, I found out. And I had 6 months of pain before it was removed because no one could heal it. Yeah, the parts that we don't see are important, and we never think of them until they're injured or they don't work well. And then we give them lots of attention, lots of honor. But we're like that. We're a body of people, different people. And so God wants us to learn how to follow Jesus together as we speak the truth in love together. And so we ask and we keep asking, you know, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking, and we'll find these things together. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love for us, and thank you that you've called us into Christ. We thank you that you know everything about us. You've known it forever because you're not locked in time. You know past, present, future. And we rest in the fact that there's nothing about us that's going to surprise you, cause you to leave us or reject us or walk away from us, or and that you're committed to forming us into Christ, and we thank you for that. And part of that forming is learning how to obey, how to be your witness, and how to share the good news that someone shared with us so that other people can believe, other people can receive. And we pray for those that are not yet baptized, but they've trusted in Christ, that they will be baptized, and help us as a group to speak truth to one another, to build up one another, and to help each other love you more, trust you more, and see you work in our lives, bringing the fruit of the Spirit in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing.